Visiting today with the legendary John Rosa from Boone County Landfill, Boone County Recycling. Good to have you in.
Good to be here. It's warm in here, at least.
Yeah, it is warm in here. Man, a little bit on the chilly side. You know, it was teens.
Oof.
Yeah, so
hope it breaks a little bit.
I don't know if you got a big dome to put over that landfill to keep the heat in or something.
That'd be nice.
Well, you had a little heat going there a couple weeks ago when things started going up in flames.
Yeah, let's bring that up. Yeah.
But it is one of the we talked about it with methane and stuff like that. You do have issues where things start on fire. So let's talk about our source, apparently batteries.
Yeah, yep, for sure. The guys even dug them up one time, you know, they were still hot. They brought it in the office and showed me, you know, and it was like, it was still hot, you know, an hour later, you know, significantly. But the world of solid waste management, I guess, so not just landfills, but recycling centers, transfer stations, garbage trucks. And if you've followed articles on that, of how they deal with
they're driving down the road and all of a sudden there's flames.
And then they're told to dump it and in the street, and that's, you know, what else do you do? Otherwise, you're driving it, you know, dangerously. So same thing on our end. What do you do with it? Well, we separate, get it identified, get it away from everything that could burn, and bury it, extinguish it as fast as we can, and then continue to monitor it, because reignition would be certainly an issue. But the other one was an interesting fire instance, I guess, that came up. The first one that day, there was two that day, so that was extra exciting. But the first one was a scale attendant says, "I smell smoke." Immediately it just goes to a
code, you guys kind of go
red alert, like what's going on. But walked out of our scale house, or right there in the office area, and in between the scale and the scale house, there's literally about five foot pad of concrete, and there's a big chunk of cardboard right there burning. Fires, it was, you know, about waist high, and it was like one big piece of cardboard. It was on a windy day, and so I extinguished it right away. I mean, got it out. It was. But then it was, where did this come from? Yeah, why is this random piece of cardboard suddenly showing up here? But the only thing we can think of was the last truck that had gone out probably drug it out. It was underneath, got enough heat off the exhaust possibly, ignited because of the wind kicking it up, which was like, we sit back and think, wow, we don't want it right by the office. But also, we certainly wouldn't want it down our road going down there with all the dead grass nearby,
sure,
and have a wildfire going through the county. And it's like, oh my goodness. I mean, what a terrible spot that it was right by the office, but also maybe that's the best spot that it was on concrete. So, and then, you know, a couple hours later, they're digging up batteries that the guys down below, the operators, fire broke out. So, you know, you take those rechargeable lithium, all those types of batteries that are so common anymore, and people are not doing the right thing with them, which is to get them recycled, get them handled in a hazardous waste facility. We will gladly accept that free of charge for this whole purpose, to prevent fires from happening in our recycling center and our landfill. So those get popped open, they react to oxygen, and suddenly, boom, fires are instantly happening. And frightening, especially if it's not extinguished well, and then it would relight, and you got something that's happened in the middle of the night.
I think we've had the fire department make a few trips back and forth a couple of times. And then you got the issue we've talked about before, methane.
Yeah.
And you did discover that, we do have we knew we had an issue with methane. It just is. It's one of the byproducts of landfill solid waste disposal. It happens.
Yep.
But you found out, we have actually a little more than we thought.
It's looking like a good amount. I guess good in the aspect of, let's do something productive with it. It's got the potential. The bad part of it is how significant it is. So it is environmentally not a good thing to have. And as you alluded to, all landfills have this. And it's whether or not you can justify managing it and mitigating it and doing something better with it. And that's what the road we're headed down. We're working with a company now that has done the study, and results are starting to come back finally after they pulled the samples.
Okay.
Things looked good, and then they wanted to see what else was in there, in with it. So methane out of a landfill is very wet, and so they separate and test and see what else, what other things they would have to remove.
Is there an excess amount of moisture?
Yeah. Or if sodium, whatever else is mixed in with it that could be problematic to remove before gets connected to the natural gas pipeline is the process they're looking at. So we're supposed to have a further conversation yet this week.
All right.
So kind of an exciting time. I look forward to seeing what the results are and what the potential going forward. How can we make this work? And do something good with our methane that's just so bad for the environment.
And I know you talked to the supervisor about this. Listeners understand there is a possibility. Once again, don't know how much involvement it would be from the landfill. These are all things that you'll have to find out. The company has expressed an interest. They've apparently refined the process to make it a little more cost effective, put it that way. And so we'll see what happens.
But yeah, now we get the details. The truth is in the details, I guess, with whatever they're proposing, with what they're able to do. Initially, it's, you know, as first talked about, is that they would do all the construction and they would pay for the maintenance and everything, basically take it all on, all financial responsibilities to put in this system. And then whatever they want to do with it, to turn around and try to sell it and get the credits and the energy credits, mm-hmm. and do make their own money off of it that way. And it seems like maybe we're missing out on something by doing that, letting someone else take all the money from it. But we would have less burden to do that construction ourselves, which would be millions of dollars up front. So they would,
outside of it being a byproduct of the landfill, what else? How would you, John, I know you're an authority. No, that's what people would say. Well, why don't you guys do it? Well, because we'd have to pay to get it done anyway.
Yeah. So. Yeah, one way or another. And, you know, they have the knowledge in the field. They have the experience. They have the ability to do that. I've learned a few things, but certainly nowhere close to being able to put in our own system and how to manage that.
It'll be an interesting thing to see how it works out and see, because it does,
very much.
It does from a safety standpoint, it also gets rid of an issue that you really don't want to have to let it go. You don't want to burn it off like you. I mean, you know, would be some of the things that would happen.
Yeah. And it could be accidental burning, uncontrolled burning, which would be horrible. There is the option to, which we would have this as part of the system, though it looks as if a flare. So then when their system is not collecting and producing and generating and doing what it's supposed to be doing, if there is a breakdown or maintenance or whatever they need to do, there is a flare system built in, because the methane will still keep being produced. It's going to keep coming. So in the meantime, they would flare it off. So it'd be a big old controlled fire to mitigate some of that methane.
All right. Well, let's talk about a few of the other things that are going on in conjunction with the landfill. One thing I do know, one thing I know, and we'll do it this way, we do know that we are still looking at space issues and working on that. And you kind of ran through a list last time we visited about, you know, kinds of things we can do to extend the life of the landfill. And again, not something that's going to happen overnight, but some discussions already underway on what we can do, and how soon we can start to incorporate some of the. Obviously, the sooner it can be incorporated, the better for everybody.
Yeah. So longevity, what space do we have left? We were kind of hopeful of, you know, to be able to have more room to work with, expanding our landfill, getting more property. It looks like that has come to a halt, and it's not an option. So we're now
pretty much landlocked,
shifting gears to say, well, this is what we have, and what are we going to do about it? How are we going to best manage it? How are we best going to prepare for the longevity of the landfill and providing the service to our community? Obviously, slowing down tonnage would be the biggest thing. We've been growing, you know, back years ago when I started, it was in the 40s and 50,000 ton a year, and escalated a lot over the years. Now we're in the 90s, you know, we're doubled over that time. With that is not just the double of the tonnage coming in, but then also it won't compact as well. When you're, you know, imagine that you're trying to smash some garbage in a garbage can. You know, if you did it when it's half full or half empty, if you're pessimistic, when the garbage can is half full, if you would try to smash that down to save some space in there, that's pretty, it's more manageable. Mm-hmm. But if you fill it all the way up, take your garbage can all the way up, and then you start trying to shove that, you know, shove your foot down in there to try to smash it, the things in the bottom aren't going to smash as well.
Not
you're going to
quite,
lose that airspace. So same idea here. You bring in, you know, 90,000 ton, 95,000, almost 100,000 ton a year. Harder to manage, harder to compact really well versus when it's 45, 50, 60,000 ton. So spread the, you know, the tonnage out over a day. There's so many hours, and you're taking, you know, 30 ton an hour versus, you know, 20 ton an hour. Doesn't seem like a whole bunch, but also you're able to spread it out, smash it down when it's less volume, and you're able to shrink it down. So it just works better. You get better compaction, so less tonnage, also better space savings. Use our big compactor to smash it really well, make sure we're passing the proper number of times. And then we'll be using a spray material, which is something we've been using over the years anyway, but making sure we're very systematic in that approach too, to say, you know, spray that, put a, you know, a thin
it's
layer,
a thin
half
layer,
inch of paper mache over the top to hold the garbage in place, and then put garbage back on it the next day. Can't do it every day, but for the most part, if we make it part of our routine and making sure we're doing that, we'll get better compaction levels and therefore saving airspace. So right now we're looking at, you know, if we continue our operation as is, we're in the, you know, 20-year timeline. We're at 16, 14, I guess, with our current.
If I was going to say, right now,
eight,
the way it is with what we're taking in, probably I roughly round it to about 15 years, give or take.
Our last study a couple years ago, I said 16, and that was the not as good compaction levels. That, and we're going to revisit that and get our engineers to reassess that and see how we're doing, so we can continue doing better, our best operations, best practices to
save
our airspace.
It's kind of like a math formula.
Ooh. Hey!
I mean, you know, there's a lot of different variables will weigh in on this. So, and, you know, and some people go, well, 15 years, you know,
who cares,
20 years.
Yeah.
Goes fast.
Yeah. Maybe it won't matter to me, you know.
But it does go
fast. You're talking 20, you know, 4 years, but, you know, if we... As I did the calculations, if we cut back our tonnage, if we hit better compaction levels, bring all those good things together, potentially we're looking at a max of 40 years. That's our current space available, maxing it to where we are walking out the door, covering it all up. That's idealistically. And that's not all that great. I mean, it doesn't leave a lot for variables, you know, to say, well, if we're not doing that, you know, you can start knocking off years, and then we're suddenly looking at, whoo, that's coming up fast.
But and, like you said, too, obviously we've been getting additional material in, a lot of C&D from Story County, but will probably try to be diverted. But still, we see our regular users, the amount of solid waste that's coming out is rising naturally among them as well.
Right. Yeah, our primary service area.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stuff that we have to, not the secondary service area that you alluded to with Story County and the C&D coming from that that area. But, yeah, just our own regular stuff. And it just gets tiresome after a while when you see good things, the stuff that is still nothing wrong with it, still useful. Now we're talking about, you know, building materials could be 2x4s, brand new ones that just get thrown away, stuff that is perfectly fine, but people just throw things away. And it's bothersome to me, frankly, because
we're kind of edging into the recycling part.
right, and reusing it and doing something else with it. But and I'll go on a tangent. I'd love to talk more about recycling and the push for that, too, because now it's necessary more so than ever when you're looking at the end of our landfill life to say, you know, we're running out of space. I mean, we've always talked about, oh, you're using space. And well, now it's really coming to the forefront.
Sure.
So recycling, reusing, all those R's, reduce, reuse, repurpose, replenish, repair, replace, all the R's, and then recycling in there also, making sure we're doing that as much as possible with our stuff instead of just throwing it away.
But and again, bottom line is we could have better opportunities if market is there and the people that we work with, which is down in Des Moines, if they have a market for more things, we could take more things.
Right.
We could recycle more things.
Yep.
But
Like the shingles pallets, some of those materials that should have a use. Yep. But when there's no market, it's really tough to say, yeah, we can do that one. Well, how? We set it over here and then hope for a market, and then eventually just gets buried anyway. So,
yeah. Well, in the meantime, if it is recyclable, please try to do it. And if it's not, don't.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that issue, because that's showing how I know the board asked you about it. You had a few issues with some people just dumping their garbage out at the recyclings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you do?
Yeah.
And it's, and
take
it's
a deep
not
breath
like,
and
I will
try
say
to
it's not a lot of people, but it shows up every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
It shows up where somebody just does that.
Yep. And I can understand some of it, especially when you look at the recycling symbol. Some people will see, oh, it has a recycling symbol, and you can look at pretty much any plastic container or any
yep.
piece of plastic around will have a symbol on there. I'm looking at one right now, this hand sanitizer bottle, that plastic cup that you have in your hand has a recycling symbol on it, and a lot of stuff does. A lot of stuff will also have it on there to say it can be recycled somewhere. Or, if you take it to the right facility, it can be recycled. Or this thing is made up of recyclable materials. Okay, that's all well and good, but can it be recycled in our transfer station? Can it go down to Mid-America Shoe Pan Recycling to be recycled? And no, if it doesn't meet the criteria of what we're supposed to be accepting, it doesn't. So, with that, we also, I understand those, you know, the confusion of this plastic container versus that plastic container, this piece of plastic, why can't plant containers, the plastic piece, why can't those? Well, maybe they can, but by our standards, no, it can't in our process. But I get those. But also, I can't understand when yard waste gets thrown in there, or medicinal supplies, CPAP materials, catheter tubes. I mean, there's a human element involved in the process. And it's quite frustrating when you see that stuff that's a bag of garbage thrown in there. I mean, literally, it is old food waste and all that. And it stinks. It stinks up our entire transfer station, and it ruins a lot of other stuff. So, I mean, we found, you name it, we probably found it in there over the years. I mean, we're talking dog feces, bags of that,
folks,
cat litter.
You can't tell he is frustrated.
It's gross. Well,
it is.
And I have people work, I used to do that job, but also I have, you know, people that I care about out there that need to be safe and feel somewhat responsible to get that message out there, to stop throwing that really disgusting stuff in there, because there is a human element involved in it. We are moving it in some capacity, and there's exposure issues. So it's frustrating. I want everybody safe, and stop abusing that system.
Please.
Recycle what you're supposed to recycle.
Please, do it right.
Just stick to it. If you have questions, ask. If you are unsure, look at the sign when you drop it off at the drop-off area. It's a huge sign up there. Shows you exactly what it is. If it doesn't match, don't put it in there. Yeah. It's pretty much that simple.
It's all a matter of education.
Yep.
It's all voluntary. One thing did want to point out, last of our Saturday household hazardous waste opportunities. Again, you do this, April 2 through November, a couple on the road, June and October. But Saturday morning, again, have any household hazardous waste, I'm going to have to see if I can't work my schedule enough to bring out some rechargeable batteries that are recyclable.
And we're doing the ABCs for batteries, all batteries collected. So we're collecting all those batteries. If you're unsure if it's alkaline or lithium ion, rechargeables, whatever it is, bring us your batteries. Let us take care of it in the right spot, so we're not just throwing it into our recycling center or our landfill and causing
starting a fire.
So give them to us during those times. We'll collect them on that Saturday. We'll do it during the week by appointments, etc. But yes, that's our last one for the calendar year anyway, our last Saturday collection event for the household hazardous waste.
Will you still by appointment have anybody, or do you kind of limit that during the winter time?
We'll continue offering it until into December. We actually cut off about Christmas time and just say no more, it's too cold. Just hold on to it at that point. But yes, by appointment until then.
Okay.
But call if you're unsure, if you miss that Saturday event.
When in doubt.
We would let me hit on to the Saturday, next Friday, the 10th. We have limited hours because we're honoring Veterans Day that day on the 10th early, so we're having Saturday hours on that day, and then we also have our holiday hours coming up for Thanksgiving and Black Friday afterwards too. So some changes with that, and the 15th is also the end of the free yard waste days.
Yes, it is. We'll talk that day, by the way.
Yes, so. That'll be the end.
It's part of what we're doing.
Yep.
If people do have questions, and I know you'd love to go out and give presentations on and stuff about trying to extend the life of the landfill and stuff like that, people can call.
Please,
they can call,
yes,
and inquire and see if they've got a group or an organization would like to hear more about some of the challenges.
Whether it's recycling or landfill or methane, the new system, I think there's going to be, if that happens, I sure hope it does. Hope it works out as beautifully in my mind as it's talked about.
We hope.
But it'd be such a wonderful thing, and it'd be a great, great learning opportunity.
John Rosa, Boone County Landfill Administrator, our recycling coordinator program. And once again, if you have questions, folks, contact the landfill. Their number, it's not hard to find.
That's right.
515-433-0591.
Yeah,
thanks for coming
in
today. Thank you.